Yeah, thanks for joining
us.
It's a bit cold there at the moment, is it?
It's awful. It's still freezing as I sit looking out onto a frosty garden.
Could be worse, mate. You could be in Brisbane.
Yeah, well, this time 2 years ago I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're also there in June this year.
Well, that's wonderful.
What took you there?
First one, my nephew was getting married out there. And then in June it was to launch Walking Cocky.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure if you'd done anything in Australia or not, but I had seen that quite a lot of your images that you put up with regard to Walking Hockey and different bits and pieces had Ben Harton copied in on them. And I saw there was some kind of Hockey Australia link, but didn't quite know what it was.
Yeah, we came out, we went out to Dubai, first of all, to talk to Dubai Hockey Club about it. Then we flew on to Auckland and spent a few days with Hockey New Zealand. Then we went up to Brisbane and up to Cairns and then finished off with Ben and his team down in Melbourne at HQ.
Fantastic. So I guess I'll back announce and say welcome to the show, Alan, and let's talk Walking Hockey, because we've got straight into the conversation there. What's Walking Hockey?
Walking Hockey is a game that we've created for people who can no longer play, for people who've never played, for people who are coming back from injury, pretty much everyone actually, and it's four or five aside on a small pitch. We've made up some rules which are similar to Hockey Sixes to keep it consistent with all the other FIH offerings. And it's just gone crazy.
So where does the idea come from, or where does the necessity come from to think of this?
About 8 years ago, I made up a scheme called Back to Hockey to try and get people back into the sport, which was pretty successful, and England Hockey adopted it. And at one of our Back to Hockey sessions, we had a 55-year-old lady, former cancer victim, who was just saying, I'm going to have to give up playing, it's too much for me. And then the next day she sent me an email saying, have you thought of Walking Hockey? Well, no. Spent the next 3 months researching it and couldn't find a lot about it anywhere, and thought, well, let's go for it. We set up a marketing team, marketed it extensively locally, and we just launched it, and first session we had over 40 people there. We've now got 60 members, we've seen over 80 different people, and people just seem to absolutely love it.
Now this is at Bromsgrove Hockey Club?
Yeah, Bromsgrove Hockey Club in Worcestershire in England, where we've been helped by the fact we've just got a 15-month-old AstroTurf pitch of our own. And that's opened up all sorts of avenues for us.
Fantastic. And so, if I remember rightly, Bromsgrove School used to have an Astro?
That's right, yeah, they've got a couple. But they're very, they're pretty much a hockey school, and rugby, and they tend to use their pitches all the time. We get time on that, so we spent a lot of time working with England Hockey to raise a lot of money. And we're fortunate, you know, to get our own pitch down.
Fantastic. And we're going through something similar down here with our club in Perth in WA, and we're getting closer and closer by the day. But yeah, we certainly appreciate the effort that goes into it, and obviously the amount of money that goes into it as well. So, Walker, first off, you took me by surprise, to be honest, because you mentioned Back to Hockey, and it's something I know, but I didn't honestly know that it was something you were directly related with. It's something that, we'll talk about my club again, because this is, you know, obviously it's what affects us, is that we're going to start a similar program for next season and try and target it at some of the junior parents that have got their kids down that might have played in the past and try and run it at a similar sort of time. We've got a few restrictions for turf access that we don't have, so we'll be doing it on the grass. And the inspiration has come from Back to Hockey. All I can do is say well done, I guess. You know, it's obviously a scheme that's worked really well.
Yeah, it has. If we use our club as an example, we were struggling to get four men's teams out and struggling to get sort of two and a half ladies' teams out.
Yeah.
And we've now got five men's teams, five ladies' teams, and our junior section's grown from 30 to over 200. And
wow.
It's all come from different initiatives like Back to Hockey, and Walking Hockey's obviously added on to that now.
And is that mainly, do you find those additions being from very local people?
We do, yes. Certainly with Back to Hockey, we're quite close to Birmingham here.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people come and go from a business point of view, so there's a constant refresh of people who used to play hockey.
Yeah.
So if you keep the program on the boil, you know, you keep pulling people in all the time. But Walking Hockey's had quite a wide geographic dispersal for us. Not wide by Australian standards, but we're talking like people coming 30 or 40 miles to play.
Fantastic.
And obviously part of this is making hockey accessible to people, not only people who maybe physically can't get out there and play hockey as most would know us Saturday afternoons, 11 aside sort of thing, but as you mentioned, the people who are new to the game. And I'm wondering, do you find that the people who are, say, find themselves physically limited and don't think they can play, after playing a bit of walking hockey, discover that they can go back and play other hockey as well?
We're starting to, yes. More so actually from Back to Hockey. The way we run it, we run walking hockey, and then immediately afterwards we do our Back to Hockey session.
Oh, okay.
So people can see what the next step is for them. And you know, that obviously helps enormously. I think one of the big appeals actually is that we're starting to get single parents and parents of teenage children who can't get childcare, and they said, well, we'd love to come but we can't, so we said, well, bring the kids.
Yeah. that's the hockey family, isn't it, Alan? You know, certainly we experience that at our club, is that the kids run wild and they've got a big expansive field in front of the club rooms.
And people looking after them and watching
out for
them.
But everybody looks out for each other.
Yeah, it is. It's a real family thing. And I think the point you hit on in terms of turf time, we're pretty much saturated at the weekend now. I'm going to say we've got our own pitch now, but we're actually having to hire, because we're growing so rapidly, another pitch as well to use. But because we're doing things like Back to Hockey and Walking Hockey and Hockey Sixes, we can utilise the pitch and give people who perhaps can't play on the weekend the opportunity to play in the week
as
well.
Yeah. There's all sorts of different situations for people, isn't it? And it's something we've toyed with in the past is having a creche for mother's hockey or father's hockey, you know, whoever's, it could be mixed hockey, on a Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. that fits in between sleep time and, you know, all that sort of thing. And that's something we can do with hockey. We can do that.
Yeah, we're thinking along similar lines. We've got a few sort of building developments to do before we can actually look at doing toddlers. But once we do, we'll be doing that. We're also starting to look now that we want to start to get disabled people involved with walking hockey as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're due to speak to Adam Thomas from Access Sport over the next few weeks. We did have an interview, but unfortunately the equipment failed and we didn't actually capture it. But Adam's going to be back on talking about the Flyers program and para hockey in Europe and all that sort of thing. So we're really excited to hear of the developments there and obviously hear of the challenges to get funding for it as well.
Indeed it is. And in fact, at our awards ceremony on Thursday night, Kate Richardson-Walsh was the guest of honour.
Uh-huh.
And she spoke about Access Sport, and we've since been in touch through Twitter, and she's given me contact details to speak to Access Sport. So, you know, I actually fired an email off to them last night to get things started.
Fantastic.
Alan, just to look more closely at the game that you're playing, at what point does walking hockey become running hockey?
that's, Yeah, in terms of, you mean the people actually taking off and running during the game?
Well, yeah, I imagine that there'd be some people that, you know, the competitive spirit and all those sorts of things occasionally might get a bit too much for them.
Are you trying to infer that hockey's a competitive game? No, actually, what we found, pretty soon found, that we've got two groups of people, sort of two audiences. The one audience are ex-players who are really, really competitive. And the other audience are people who are there for fun, a bit of a social time, chat and make new friends. And that's not to say the competitive people have made new friends, but the competitive group, we umpire.
Right, okay. Yeah.
The fun group, we don't. They self-umpire.
Yeah.
That's actually led to some quite significant amendments to the way we play the game as well, so that people are restricted to walk. So the rule is you've got to have one heel on the ground at all times, which without videos is a bit tricky at times. people tend to let you know if you're going too quickly.
Oh, but you know, if it's just a yard away and it's just about to go out the sideline, geez, you've got to have that second step to make a lunge for it, haven't you?
You have, but the thing is, the surprising thing really is it's up the level of skill, because your passes have to be absolutely spot on.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And also, your utilisation of space, because you have to make the space to receive the pass. Oh, it sounds silly, because obviously in a normal game you can compensate for a bad pass on occasions, yeah. But in walking you can't.
And it shows great foresight, because you've got to make your decision early if you're going to lead.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So,
it's great fun.
It's almost chess-like.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of it like that, but yes.
Do we get any sort of Olympic walking action happening?
We do. Yeah, we get some people whose butts start wobbling quite crazily, but yeah, they do, and then, you know, that's fine, as long as they're still walking, and it's... Well, obviously more so in the competitive group. They different speeds, isn't it? Competitive guys, they want to walk a bit faster. The fun guys, they're there just to have a bit of a laugh and a joke. And they come together afterwards, and we sort of go up to the clubhouse for socials and things like that.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a great time for anybody involved, regardless of what level they seem to find themselves at.
It is, but, you know, we can offer something for absolutely everybody now. I've got a project that I'm working on called Project Lifetime, which is like cradle to grave hockey.
Yeah, well, that's hockey for life. That's the thing, isn't it? Hockey for life, and we have it. But I think it's great that you're trying to provide that genuine accessibility that works beyond the borders of. The knees have given up, or, you know, whatever else it might be that you've got decrepit with.
Yeah, that's right. I was talking to some of the Masters players while we were out in Australia as well, and they were saying, "Oh, this is great for us, because, you know, there comes a point where Masters even, you know, becomes too much, and in the past we just sort of hung up our stick and headed for the bar, but now we don't need to."
Yeah, but there's certainly in the Masters hockey, the guys that can, the majority that are continuing to play in 50s, 60s, 70s, 75s hockey over here, a lot of them were very bloody good players in the first place, and were very, very fit.
They invited me to join in while I was there. I took one look and said, "Oh, it's okay."
See, my great hockey program was to be a rubbish player as a kid, and then by the time I got to 50, I thought all of those really good players would have dropped away and I'd be able to just walk into a state team. But that's not to be. These guys are all really good.
Yeah, life's a bitch, isn't it?
But look, I think as long as you're still playing the game, so I'm personally very passionate about. I was brought into the game as a 6-year-old, and I want to play until the last day that I can breathe and walk. And I think that's one of the wonders of our game. And it takes me back. I made reference in our podcast a couple of weeks ago. No, in fact, it wasn't. It was on somebody else's podcast talking about probably the pinnacle of my career was an under-16s Worcestershire County schoolboy badge as a goalkeeper. But I remember playing against an old boy, Alf, at Old Sills Hockey Club, and I think he was 85 when we played against him.
And he whacked you.
he was pretty easy to get around, but I tell you what, if you got within a metre of him, he'd snaffle the ball off you. I played against Pip Cyril, who was playing for Alton in the fives. I think I was 15 years old, and he would have been 52, 54 or something. He stuck five goals past me. So the heritage, the history has always been there within clubs. Certainly like in the UK, as a 16-year-old, you might be playing with a 60-year-old. Certainly in, you know, the smaller town clubs around and about. And I think it's good to be able to extend people's hockey careers and keep them involved within their clubs and contribute into their clubs, because it's important that we've got everybody from the kids to the oldies being part of our club. It's a family, isn't it?
It is, and it means the club lives, because you keep regenerating interest right the way through. So if we use the club now, we've got sort of grandparents playing walking hockey, parents playing hockey, children playing juniors, grandchildren on the way up from the bottom to refill that cycle.
Yeah, it's really important. Just, you mentioned before about an award. We haven't got the trumpet sound effect, Andy, have we? Maybe thank you, John. Tell us about the award.
Yeah, well, we've been fortunate. We've actually now got, that was our second award. The first one we were honoured to receive was in late May from England Hockey, which was the Innovation of the Year. A glitzy awards ceremony with some of the Olympic players there as well. So Holly Webb actually presented it to us, which was a bit of a buzz for us.
Lovely.
And then this week we won the Hereford and Worcestershire Sports Community Award.
Excellent.
Which in its own way is as rewarding for us, because that's across all sports. And so when I let the team know, they were like, wow, that's great. And because what we try to do, I lead this thing, but everything we've done has been by consensus.
Yeah.
So people actually, you know, it's theirs, and, you know, they're invested themselves in it. And through winning the award on, when was it, Thursday, we've now been, shortlisted for the BBC West Midlands Awards.
Beautiful. Wicked.
So, you know, it's going, yeah. And, hey, we're not here for the awards, but, hey, we're not going to turn them down when they come.
No. You get to go to a nice dinner, don't you?
We do. And I think we get lots of positive PR, which means it spreads the message out.
Well, this is it. It's not just, it's good across all levels. And what I love about your attitude with it, Alan, and it's something that we try to replicate in our club, is that you've got to do it right in your local community first. And so if you've got a great idea, have a go and test it within your group, the people you know, and in the surrounding areas and your hockey people. And if it works, then great, share it. And that's what I really love about it, is that you've tried it out and you've got it working at a local level. And perhaps you need some help from the authorities to make it bigger, but it's great that they're taking it on and listening. And it's all good stuff. It's all, you know, it's all good news stuff, and put smiles on the face of hockey lovers.
Yeah, I'm currently working with England Hockey to put a how-to guide together, which they're going to do a big launch, Walking Hockey, in 2018. So that'll be great. We've already got over 20 clubs playing in the UK now.
And how are your thoughts about sharing that and just bombarding every club in the world and getting Pablo at A Hockey World to translate some to go to the Spanish-speaking countries, and, you know, getting it out there and just going, right, guys, look, this is what we've done, this is what's working for us, do what you want with it?
From my point of view, the more people we can get playing, the more benefits they get and see, like the people we've had playing, you know, that's it for me. Our whole project was, if you like, paid for, that's not quite the right word, but one of the ladies we've got, she's mid-60s, she's got cancer, she's got a terminal prognosis, she's just in remission at the moment, and she was just sat at home.
Yeah.
And she saw it, she used to play, some things to look forward to. And for me, I could have stopped then, you know, job done.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic, and so John's just looking at me going, well, your turn to ask a question. I love it. You know, we're club people, and I think everything that I've heard that you've got involved with and you've promoted is come from a sense of club and hockey and the hockey family and everything that fits into all of that. And it's admirable, and I'm really pleased that there's some recognition coming your way with it. I'm actually even more pleased though that there's some uptake on what you're doing, and it's being spread, and the concepts are being taken on board, and clubs and people in hockey are getting behind it. It's fantastic.
Great, yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you very much.
So
thanks for the chance to tell people about it.
So where can people find out more about it, Alan? Where's the website, Twitter, whatever else to head to?
Yeah, probably the best place to start is our website, which is walkinghockey.com.
Fantastic. Well, that's nice and easy. So www.walkinghockey.com. They can get on there and find out what it's all about, and I'm sure there's a way to contact you guys or someone who's running things if there's any further questions.
Yeah, indeed there is. Yeah,
super stuff. Well, Alan, thanks so much. Oh, John's got one more
I was just going to say, as a person that's probably getting closer and closer to walking hockey, it's great to see that there's actually something there for me once my legs give out, and the work you guys are doing is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, John. Thank you. And perhaps your club and I, when our club ought to get in touch with each other and share ideas.
Oh, definitely. There's a few of my former teammates who could probably do with a bit of walking hockey just quietly.
And current.
Yeah. Well, current ones.
Yeah, because you sound like a progressive club yourselves, and we certainly would like to think of ourselves that way, and we're happy to share and exchange ideas.
Yeah, lovely. Great stuff.
Well, you're the vice president, right, so you've got to get onto it.
So we're going to call it a wrap there. Alan, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll speak soon.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.